Boston art museums, including the Museum of Fine Arts, the Institute of Contemporary Art, and the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, have all renovated their buildings in recent years. Now, it's Harvard's turn. The new Harvard Art Museums reopened to the public on Sunday for the first time in 6 years, after an overhaul to turn the academic institution into a more contemporary place to appreciate works of art. We'll have stories about the Harvard Museums over the next few days, and this morning we begin with the Strauss Center. WBUR's Andrea Shea visited the center where the science of art conservation in this country was born.
The conservation labs at 32 Quincy Street in Cambridge are drenched in natural light beneath a vast, all-glass, pyramid-shaped roof. Senior conservation scientist Narayan Khandakar is thrilled about the new state-of-the-art facility, but his eyes really light up as we head down a level to see some very old materials collected by Strauss Center founder Edward Forbes.
In this tub over here, we've got resins that were bought by Forbes from Singapore in 1918. When the renovation started, we found these in the basement. It was like, you know, a box of treasure.
Then we move over to some floor-to-ceiling glass cabinets of wonder. They're filled with vintage glass bottles and test tubes. Their labels are typed or handwritten, and the vessels contain colorful powders. They're arranged like an artist's palette.
So we have cadmium red, cochineal, helio fast pink, vermilion, alizarin, rose madder.
This is the Forbes Pigment Collection. It's famous among art conservators. They all study it in school and refer to it throughout their careers. There are thousands of samples from all over the world, and it tells the history of the Strauss Center and its founder, Forbes. Khandakar explains.
Every time he traveled, he would bring things back with him, and these are Japanese pigments and binding media that were collected in the 1930s, and we have one of our prized possessions is this ball of Indian yellow, which is made from the urine of cows fed only on mango leaves.
Indian yellow was used for centuries in India, but stopped being made because the mango-infused urine hurt the cows. There's lapis lazuli from Afghanistan, which in medieval times was said to be 6 times more valuable than gold. Also, pigments excavated from Pompeii. Each color tells a story, Khandakar says, and understanding their narratives is a big part of every conservator's job. Here, they preserve and study the Harvard Art Museum's entire collection. That's about 250,000 objects.
We often want to understand how an artist painted, what materials they used to create these wonderful things that we look at. We want to understand what the pigments look like under the microscope, and to understand chemically the whole process, we also want to understand how these things age.
That was Forbes' objective, too. Harvard Art Museum's research curator Francesca Baver wrote a book about the Strauss Center's history. She describes Forbes as an amateur artist who traveled the world at the turn of the 20th century, acquiring works he'd bring back to Harvard's Art Museum, where he was director.
And he was also very curious to, as he said, look over the shoulders of the masters and sort of understand more about their techniques.
Forbes started gathering pigments that would serve as a color reference library. In 1927, he hired chemist Rutherford John Gettens to analyze them. A year later, Forbes founded the Strauss Center for Conservation and Technical Studies. Henry Lee is the current director.
And it was really the beginning of the field of conservation in the United States, and the first time a science-based approach was taken to looking at these materials.
Today, part of the Forbes pigment collection is housed in the Library of Congress, and museums around the world use it to date and sometimes authenticate works of art.
Forbes was an amazing man, and he had the foresight to start a conservation lab and to include scientists in it.
That's Museum of Fine Arts Boston research scientist Michelle Derrick speaking from her lab. You can hear equipment humming away in the background. The MFA created a free online database for conservators called Cameo. Derrick recalls relying on paints from artist John Singer Sargent's studio that are also in the Forbes collection.
Before our Sargent watercolor exhibit about 2 years ago, we took samples from some of the watercolor paints from their tubes that had been in his art studio, and we compared those to the materials we were finding on the book spot.
Harvard research scientist Narayan Khandakar says the museums work hard to keep the Forbes legacy alive. They've been adding contemporary paints to the collection, including the vibrant colors Sister Mary Carita Kent used on the big striped gas tank off Route 93. Khandakar also points to the highly publicized 2007 analysis of three disputed paintings said to be by Jackson Pollock.
We found that there were pigments that were available only after Pollock had died, from the 60s, from the 70s, and from the 80s. And so it helped us understand when these works were made.
They've helped determine how they were made, too, because some artists, like Mark Rothko, were cagey about revealing their secret ingredients. Khandakar was part of a team that analyzed notoriously damaged murals Rothko donated to Harvard in the 70s. They've been restored for the Harvard Art Museum's opening weekend. Right now, Khandakar is working on the first detailed survey of Aboriginal bark paintings in collaboration with some 50 museums in Australia. He says the pigments were said to be made with some pretty interesting ingredients.
Different types of gum, different types of bloodwood, fat, orchid juice, turtle eggs.
So far, the conservation scientists at the Strauss Center have confirmed the orchid juice, gums, and bloodwood, but not the turtle eggs. And there is definitely no mango-infused cow urine. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.